The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
This week on Columbia Calling, coming up here on the Overseas Radio Network, we'll be talking to Lottie Lawrence, a young English lady charged with the responsibility of bringing lacrosse, the sport, to Colombia. So she'll be setting up a league between some of the top tier private schools here in Colombia, and we'll be talking to her about this. This and other things, we'll be talking all things Colombian, the inauguration of President Santos for one, and the future of the Overseas Radio Network and Columbia Calling, because there's big news. There's news out there that Columbia Calling will now, and the Overseas Radio Network will now be part of a different, bigger brand. But I can't tell it here, so you'll have to tune in to Columbia Calling today with me, your host, Richard McCall.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, your online radio resource about life abroad.
Are you looking to invest, live, or retire overseas? Before you pack your bags, you need to log on to NagelLaw.com. It's the only stop you need to make for global business, asset protection, estate planning, overseas residency, and citizenship needs. Our experts have experience working in 41 countries around the world. Starting a business abroad can be overwhelming without expert help. We assist clients with foreign trust, foundations, corporations, LLCs, IBCs, and property acquisition. Need help with IRA assets abroad, capital formation, foreign securities issues, banking, brokerage, or finance needs? NagelLaw.com. We ensure compliance with U.S. tax and regulatory laws. We engineer global structures to help our clients achieve their personal business objectives. Get started today. To find out about our introductory personal asset protection plan, visit us online, NagelLaw.com. We represent capital overseas.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
It's that time of the week again, folks, and it's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars, and here with you for the better part of an hour, talking all things Colombian. And we will have, in the second segment of this show and onwards, Lottie Lawrence, a young English lady here in Colombia, charged with the responsibility of bringing lacrosse to Colombia. So she's setting up a lacrosse league. She's been sponsored by an anonymous sponsor from the United States to set up a league amongst the sort of top tier schools, private schools here in Colombia, and hopefully it's a great success. And so we'll be talking to her about this and about plans for lacrosse, the sport of lacrosse, you know, the First Nations, the American Indian sport that is now one of the fastest growing sports in the United States and worldwide. So yeah, they're very exciting, and it's a more of a lightweight interview this today, because we're taking the foot off the pedal a little bit, because we've had two very strong, very engaging interviews of late. We had Colin Post talking about his book that was that has been funded on Kickstarter. So you will see This Mixed Life available soon, in a few months' time, on Amazon and other you know, sort of platforms out there. So you can get it. This tale of an Irishman sort of lost here in Bogota, who's, you know, an heroin addict who came over in the 80s to ship cocaine back, and on his first attempt got caught, did several years in one of the most infamous prisons here in Bogota. But if you want to hear more, just go onto iTunes and download or stream the show, which This Mixed Life with Colin Post. So congratulations to Colin, and we'd like to think we had a little hand in that, because we did a great interview with Colin about Mick, or Christopher as he's known, Christopher Kavanagh. And then of course we had an interview following that with Christopher Kirk out of Seattle. And then, again, slightly drugs related, but, you know, more about sort of women in Colombia. And of course, that was a bit more, it was a strong interview too. And incredibly, it really piqued some curiosity, because the ratings for this show has been very, very popular. And you can see that a lot of people downloaded it and tuned in. But big news here from the Overseas Radio Network is that we have been merged, absorbed, taken over by, however you want to put it, by the Escape Artist brand. Now, Escape Artist EA is a big expat sort of network out there, and you know what, it's very exciting. It's very exciting to be part of a new brand out there that will have greater possibilities in terms of marketing and, of course, listeners. So we'll have a new format starting in September for Columbia Calling, but we are looking forward to bigger, brighter, and better things with the Escape Artist. And of course, my sincerest thanks to the Overseas Radio Network, who will still remain controlling or organizing the podcasts and the editing and so on of Columbia Calling and the other shows on the network. But my thanks to them for picking me up and providing me with this platform and this show, because you know it's nice to have this this voice piece and be able to talk more or less about anything I want every week, and hopefully gain more listeners and sort of tell the truth about Colombia. You know, I always say if you do something good, we're going to talk about it, or we're going to write about it, and if you do something bad, we're going to talk about it or write about it. So do something good. That's a sort of indirect quote from a war photographer killed in El Salvador all those years ago called Jim Hoagland, but I use it as a sort of a let's say my raison d'etre as a journalist. So very exciting anyway. And in political news. Well, yes, on Thursday we had President Juan Manuel Santos swearing in as president for the second time. There were representatives and dignitaries from 74 different nations around the world. King Juan Carlos of Spain was here, Ecuador's President Correa, Peru's President Ollantumala. It was more of a Latino inauguration. This is his attempt, Santos's attempt to, you know, sort of embrace the region and reach out for in terms of trade and in terms of drumming up support for his ongoing peace dialogues with the FARC and the proposed ones that we know nothing about with the ELN guerrilla groups. So very interesting times. I think perhaps the inauguration was more interesting for its notable absentees. Nicolas Maduro had confirmed that he was coming, the president of Venezuela, and then in the end couldn't. And, of course, Álvaro Uribe Vélez, the former two-time president, did not attend the ceremony and was in the Senate, and made a big show of he and his Centro Democrático folk walking out midway through. There were all sorts of claims of his rejection of Maduro being invited because he's supporting narco-terrorists and so on. Yes, democratic lively debate is good, and it's healthy for the situation in Colombia. And that's as far as I'll go on that topic, but if you want to know how I think, look at my blog. That's richardmccall.com, and there's an article on there from over a year ago called The Complex Role of a Former President, and it's all about Álvaro Uribe and his position today in Colombian politics. So that's the political side. It's been a good week, because with the inauguration, I was contacted by Monocle 24, the globalist Monocle radio. You know, the magazine you see, that very thick magazine, excellent magazine, informative. I was contacted by part of their broadcast department to do a short, sort of let's say a short radio piece about the inauguration. And so that was, you know, a nice new outlet for me there, and well received. And a nice big platform. So giving us here at Columbia Calling a little bit more gravitas. So those of you listening will know that we're serious here at Columbia Calling. But yes, the radio show is going on to greater and bigger things. And so, you know, get in touch if you want to hear about a certain subject or you think someone should be interviewed, because that's the format I will continue to produce on this show. But get in touch. You can get in touch through columbiacalling@gmail.com and, of course, on the website columbiacallingradio.com. We are on Twitter too, @columbiacalling. So we'll be back in the second part of this show with Lottie Lawrence, a young English lady bringing lacrosse indeed, to Columbia. Don't go away. I'm Richard McCall, and this is Columbia Calling.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
You've got questions about Columbia, and Escape Artist has answers. Is Columbia a good fit for me and my plans? How do I buy a house, find a job, find a doctor, start a business, invest in real estate? What should I know to better appreciate its history, its culture, its opportunities? What is it really like to be an expat in Colombia? You'll find your answers at columbia.escapeartist.com, your complete and trusted guide for living, working, playing, investing, and retiring in Colombia. That's columbia.escapeartist.com.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. We're here in Bogota, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. This week I have a very special guest, and it's special because, you know, she's a young lady being very adventurous here in Colombia. And, you know, it's not every day you get to speak to someone doing something completely innovative in Colombia. So let's a big welcome to Lottie Lawrence, 24-year-old from the UK.
Hello, thank you for having me here today.
Oh, you're very welcome. She's a little bit nervous, but don't worry about that. We're going to treat her very well here on Columbia Calling. Now, Lottie, you've been in Colombia since 2013, is that right? Or even before that?
I think 2013.
2013, yeah. And you arrived and you were teaching at the bilingual school in Pereira, in the coffee zone.
Yes.
Now, you were teaching just a variety of things, or...?
I was a form teacher, so it was a bilingual school. I was teaching all in English, which was lucky as I didn't speak any Spanish last year. So I taught, yeah, all sorts of things, maths, English, geography, all the normal things.
So you stuck with one form and, you know, that you had to teach them all the different subjects.
Yeah, one class, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
It must have been fun.
It was really fun. It was
and
really fun.
Living in Pereira, good fun?
Yeah, it got slightly, I don't want to say boring, but it's a small town. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's a really small town. So eventually I was excited to come to Bogota.
Yeah, so now you're in Bogota, and you've moved on from the teaching, from the regular teaching gig, and you're doing something completely different. Tell us a little bit about this project. It's actually pretty exciting.
So when I arrived in Pereira, there were a couple of other English-speaking girls teaching there, sort of my age, and one of them said to me, oh, you should try out this sport, it's called lacrosse. She was from the States, and I said, oh, that's really interesting, actually. I used to play lacrosse. So I went to a couple of the practices. There were about four girls there, and they were all terrible. And, I mean, it was pretty difficult at that stage. There wasn't a team. But anyway, so I went to a couple of practices, and then I don't really want to admit it, but kind of left and gave up. Mm-hmm. And then 2 weeks later, the head of the program, Columbia Lacrosse Program, Miles McDeesey, arrived from Jamaica. He was working playing lacrosse in Jamaica. And he said, they need your help. There isn't a team. You should coach them. If you don't want to play with them, you should coach them. So I started coaching in Pereira. And then, shall I keep going? And then at the beginning of this year, I'd gone home for Christmas and I'd received a very unprofessional email, I would say, the night before my flight, saying, your contract has changed. You're now teaching second grade. So I came back and I was a babysitter for 2 months before I thought, I've had enough. So I spoke to Miles and I said, I would love to help you. I'll volunteer. I've got a bit of extra money. And he said, you don't need to. We found a sponsor. We want a girls league in Bogota. Move there. Find some schools. Find anyone that wants to play. And we can set up a team for the 2015 World Championships.
It's amazing. It was meant to be. Yeah. It just sort of fell out of the sky.
Yeah, it was very strange.
All right.
Yeah.
But tell me a bit about this Miles McDeesey. He's Colombian?
No, Mars is from the States. Mm-hmm. He is the program director and the head coach of the team that we just took to Denver, mm-hmm. the national boys team. He just turned 27 about a week and a half ago, and he has been working in sort of sports development. He was first here, and he was in Santa Marta, and he set up a team there, and then he went to Jamaica for 6 months. Mm-hmm. Really didn't like Jamaica, but he was working with Fields of Growth there, which is sort of an expansion of lacrosse, mm-hmm. and teaching morals and values through the sport of lacrosse.
That's pretty cool.
And then he decided about 8 months ago that he wanted to take a Colombian team to the World Championships. So then he moved back down here.
So he's 10 years younger than me, and look how much he's achieved already. It's amazing.
He's just been granted a scholarship at Washington. It's not called a scholarship in the States, as I don't know what it's called, but he's gone to university. He's gone to do a master's for 2 years.
Really? But to play lacrosse as well?
No, it's like humanitarian development or something.
Nice, though. Yeah. So he's the guy who got in touch with you and then said, listen, you're going to Bogota, yeah. setting up a girls' league.
Yeah.
And how's that going? Where are you playing?
At the moment, we have two schools. Mm-hmm. And I want 4 schools so that I can set up a league and there can be competition before we go to the championships next year, because that's been a problem that we faced this year with the boys, because they don't have competition and they don't play games because they're club teams rather than school teams. Mm-hmm. So at the moment I'm coaching in Nueva Granada, mm-hmm. and Anglo Colombiano.
So two of the, so let's say, elite, what would you say, private schools here.
Yes, I would say they think they're very elite. Yeah, they are elite.
I think we could put it like that. But they're certainly elite in terms of tuition fees. but I said that, not you. So that's fine. Now, but tell us a little bit about that. So you've been coaching, but you went up with the boys' team. What ages is the boys' team that you took just now to Denver?
The boys' team was including the heritage players, which are the boys from the States who are playing. They have Colombian heritage, so they're playing on our team, but they're from the States.
Right.
So the youngest of them was 18, mm-hmm. but he was the youngest player in the whole of our team until about 30. They
really?
Got to 30, 32.
Wow.
Yeah, the founders of Colombia Lacrosse, the Colombians, they're slightly older.
Okay, and so they all played up there. And how did you do in this championship?
I thought we did wonderfully well. Our first game was with against Finland, who are an exceptional team.
Of course.
And we lost 19-0.
But they're going to be...
But we played hard. We played really hard.
Okay. Did you break some ankles or anything?
No, no one broke anything.
Okay.
But, yeah, occasionally we had a few tears and tantrums because they got bruised.
Yeah, it happens. These are contact sports. But and the Finns are going to be organised and
they,
big.
And also, they were huge.
Yeah.
Looking at our team next to their team, we looked like a group of five-year-old
so
children.
Your team were typically Andean in stature.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, very hairy and very tall. And then, we won our final game, which was a great way to finish the tournament. We beat Costa Rica.
What was the score?
Yes, 11-4.
But that's a pretty, that's...
Yeah, we were proud.
Yeah, I think so. I think, and Costa Rica presumably have had a team for longer because there's been greater development. And
yeah, we are the newest team. We are the newest country to have gone to the World Championship, so yeah.
So, okay, so you, and to come off... come out of that, and I mean, the guys who are on that team, I mean, I imagine they're immensely, proud and appreciative of the efforts and going
definitely.
To Denver and representing their country.
Yeah, definitely.
How cool is that? Especially
really
at a time
cool.
where everyone believes it's cool to be Colombian after the World
after
Cup.
Football, yeah. And we had lots of dancing, actually. Every time a goal was scored, everyone danced. We were on ESPN.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because of our dancing.
You did the Rastastas or whatever it's called?
Yeah, whatever it's called.
So instead of James Rodriguez and Cuadrado and Ospina, it was Lotti and...
and a group of gringo, sort of lanky coaches.
Yeah. I think that's great. It really shows a spirit and fun, and at the end of it, while competition is always, I think, healthy, it's good to be part of something.
And I think that's definitely why we went because we've only been here for 2 years. Colombia Lacrosse has only existed for 2 years. We went to learn and participate and show the boys how real lacrosse is played, and I mean, they learned a lot, and they, as you said, were really appreciative.
I think so. I, you know, and it's not easy.
We were definitely one of the jolliest.
So you're going there, yeah. You're not going there to make up numbers, but you're going there for the experience. You're going there for, yeah. I think it's a really, it's a heartwarming story. I can almost see a Disney movie out of it. You know, it's like, it's almost like the Cool Runnings, Jamaica bobsled team, but the Colombian, Colombian, what do you call it, lacrosse team. Really interesting. Now, I'm an expat or someone overseas listening to this, and we wanted to learn how to get involved in Colombia lacrosse. How would we do so?
Well, we have, depending on what they wanted to do to get involved, we are always welcoming shipments of equipment, lacrosse equipment, and donations down from the States. But we're also on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. So if you wanted details of that, I could give them out.
Well, just give us a catch line for it. Let's say, what's your Facebook account?
Colombia Lacrosse.
That's very easy.
Colombia spelled with an O, not with a U, to the whole world.
Which we've said a few times on this show, I can't believe it. So listen, if you're interested in participating or getting involved or helping out, Colombia, C-O-L-O, Lacrosse. they're all over social media, so look them up and get involved and help out this sport that's in its fledgling stages, but obviously going on to great things here in Colombia. We're going to take a short break. I'm Richard McCall. Talking to Lottie Lawrence, and we're talking about lacrosse in Colombia. Don't go away.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
Are you looking for your next retirement destination, just not sure where? What benefits do you have or don't you by living abroad? Is the international real estate market safe? My name is Domingo Silva, CEO of Escape Artist, the premier authority on international living, and we're having our first annual conference in Orlando, Florida, October 10th to the 12th. Come and get the answers you've been looking for and so much more. For more information, go to OverseasRadio.com and click on the conference banner. See you there.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall here in Bogota, and we're talking to Lottie Lawrence. And for those of you who are just tuning in, we're talking all about lacrosse in Colombia. Now, it's not something that goes hand in hand, but lacrosse. Tell me a little bit about the history of lacrosse. American indigenous sport, right?
Yes. I mean,
that's where it comes from originally.
Yeah.
But where is it played around the world?
Mostly it's played in the United States and Canada. In the United States, there's still a sort of Native American team called Iroquois that compete in the World Championships. Mm. Yeah, as their own country, of course.
Of course.
And I don't think they won this year, actually. Canada won. But anyway, that was very exciting. We also play in England. There are a lot of European teams. It's developing a lot in South America. We have a lot of countries in South America. But again, it's not... It is huge in America. You get these tiny little children that I think are kind of absolutely insane. Little lax nuts, and they're obviously the children of professional lacrosse players. They wear tiny little helmets that they can hardly walk with, but they're absolutely insane. So, yeah, it's mad in the States and in Canada.
I know, but, well, let's say big up to Canada, because I'm half Canadian, so there we go. Good to hear that they won something like that.
Yeah.
Those are very good. But you say it's growing. Expanding worldwide, what do you have any ideas percentage-wise? Where does it rank, sort of thing?
It's the second fastest-growing sport in the world behind MMA.
That's mixed martial arts, for those people who don't know.
Mixed martial arts. And there is, I mean, over the last 5 years, they've evolved this thing called, I think it's, it's called Grow the Game.
Mm-hmm.
And people in the States, there's this big sort of, there's been this big movement of coaches in the States moving to other countries to start up teams, to start up clubs. So I think something like in the last 10 years, there were something like 14 more countries at the World Championships this year than 4 years ago.
I mean, that's a pretty substantial growth.
I think it's huge.
To pull a league together, the teams together, and then have the logistical support to get them to Denver. Now, was it held at the university there in Denver, the University of Colorado?
So
big, I mean, a great, big... infrastructure for sports there.
Yeah, and huge.
Must have been eye-opening for the Colombians going up there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, some of them have never even been on an aeroplane, let alone left the country. So for them, we had... You're not meant to use your cell phone as you're taking off and landing, are you? But I had like 20 little Colombians videoing them taking themselves off on the aeroplane. But yeah, it was definitely... I don't know, the weird thing about lacrosse is at the World Championships, everyone is friends. Mm-hmm. So some of the best sportsmen in the world are there, you know, members of the American or Canadian national teams. Mm-hmm. And they're happy to talk to the Colombian team and give them all their advice. And yeah, it was quite a warm experience.
That's really nice. I mean, that doesn't seem like the sort of animosity between, let's say, I don't know, football teams.
Yeah, exactly.
Of that nature.
It's
like,
definitely not as sort of snobby, I don't think, as football.
And yet it's played in the elitist.
Exactly.
But that's all right. So you've got two schools at the moment and you want to increase to four, so that there's at least there's a little sort of round robin of competition.
Yeah.
How are you going to do this?
The competition or increasing
it, yeah.
Well, I have two more schools interested. So I was already coaching before, because they're all on summer vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
At the moment, and they return in about 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I was coaching in these two schools that I have before the vacation period. And I have meetings with Marymount and a very originally named school called English School.
Oh, the English School, yeah.
Yeah. And they're both interested.
Ah.
So hopefully, fingers crossed, we will have four schools when the academic year commences.
I think it's going to mushroom, because once the other schools see that they're taking it up and it's something that's sort of, special or something a little bit more, interesting... That they're going to have the pressure placed on them by parents and so on and so forth. They will, everything here in Colombia seems to be organized by appearances and, of course, fashion. And it seems like you're pushing lacrosse into fashion.
Well, I would hope so. Certainly, it came from the girls. The girls, because we're starting with the girls, it's a girls' league, not a boys' league. Mm-hmm. The boys are going to follow. It was the girls that were interested. They said, "We want a new girls' sport. We're bored of playing football or volleyball or whatever it is." And then I arrived, obviously, at just about the right time, saying, "I want to play lacrosse." And the girls watched a few videos and were hooked. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I mean, it's got to be so, heartwarming for yourself, because it's just sort of making itself happen.
Yeah.
Almost.
No, it's cool. It's very addictive once you put a stick in their hands, because it's so difficult. You really want to master it.
Now, so the girls are going to lead this, which I think is great, because everything's always focused here. I was actually talking about this the other day. You think about, let's talk about football, soccer, to those of you in the US or wherever, but you talk about football, and the Americans talk about their USMNT, the US men's national team.
Yeah.
And then, of course, because next year is the Women's World Cup, Football World Cup. I believe it's in Canada or something like that, but nobody talks about it. It will get some coverage on ESPN because of the US team and everything like that. But in Colombia, you're not going to call it the Colombian Women's Football Team, because the only football team talked about will be the men's football team. It's just one of those realities in life. Unfortunately, we are in a very machista society here, as you know. For those of you, we are on radio, but Lottie just rolled her eyes. All right, but we are in a machista. But so it's something for the girls. I mean, that's got to be really appreciated by the girls themselves.
It's really exciting, because already we're training. I mean, for example, with Anglo Colombiano, we're training in the centre of the school, mm-hmm. and the boys walk past and say, we want to play, and the girls turn around and say, "We don't have equipment for you." They're very sort of I mean, of course we want to evolve into having a boys league, but it's really exciting to see where the girls only play boys sports, boys mm-hmm. sports evolved into girls sports, mm-hmm. whereas lacrosse is the two games, boys lacrosse and girls lacrosse, are very separate.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, next year we're going to the World Championships, fingers crossed, in Scotland, and that is where the first game of modern girls lacrosse was played.
Really?
Yeah, in St Leonard's, in St Leonard's, which is in Fife. It's in St Andrews or something.
It is up there in Scotland somewhere.
Yes, yeah, in Scotland.
For those who know Scotland, they'll know where St Leonard's is in Fife.
Yeah, but no, it's really cool, because so often mm-hmm. men lead everything, and girls, just especially here in Colombia, I mean, it's horrible.
You're spearheading a revolution.
That is exactly what we're doing.
That's what you feel like. You're spearheading a revolution. I think that's excellent. And of course, you know, I think also this, as they would say here in Colombia, the way that you described, you know, the girls saying, oh, we don't have equipment for you, is they've got to a level where they have taken, you know, possession of the sport. It's become their sport. That's really, you know, and that's a team building system and everything. I have to say that's very positive indeed. So they're going to go to Scotland next year. How many, for example, how many girls would you take in a team for something like that?
So we registered this morning to participate in the tournament, so this is all very fresh, and the regulations are 18 players. Mm-hmm. And I think we're allowed 4 heritage players. So those are the players that aren't fully Colombian, but they have a certain percentage of Colombian in them from their grandparents. Uh-huh. And you have 12 girls playing on the field at
one time. Yeah. And that differs from the boys' game.
Yeah, boys only have 10.
And why has it been made that way?
I don't know. But okay. the boys play, it's like a game of chess. They have 3 attacks, 3 middies, 3 defence, and then mm-hmm. 1 goalie.
Yeah.
And everything is sort of played around the goal circle. They have different plays, and mm-hmm. it's just a very different game to the girls' game.
And the girls' game's more fluid, would you say, then?
I would say the girls run a lot more. Mm-hmm. It's much more a game of skill rather than mental skill, but there's a lot of mental skill involved in the girls' game as well. But it's...
You'd be like skill, like sort of flicking the wrist and...
Because it's not a contact sport, mm-hmm. so the boys are very much hitting each other all the time with their sticks, with their bodies, with whatever.
Mm.
Whereas girls don't do that. And men wear a lot of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And girls only wear glasses, goggles,
mm-hmm.
are required in the States, but not outside of the States. And then they wear gloves and they have a stick.
Nothing else.
Yeah, whereas men have chest pads, shoulder pads, helmets.
It's almost an American football outfit that they're wearing. Because I remember that from when I went to high school in the States. Now, I did used to watch on occasion the girls' lacrosse team. No, I think ulterior motives to that, but when I was at high school, not as a dirty old man, it was I think more fun to watch
girls lacrosse. I don't know, there's a lot of debate at the moment about the girls game and the boys game, because a lot of boys would say the girls game is boring and that it needs to develop more into the boys game. I quite like it not being a contact sport. I don't know how much I'd want people hitting me in places that might hurt.
Yeah.
But I think certainly probably in the next few years girls will start wearing helmets.
It will just become become routine just because of security and insurance and everything. That, you know, schools can't get in trouble for concussions. Mm. If you talk about concussions, I have a nephew who played Canadian football and was being scouted out for US universities for scholarships.
Yeah.
But he'd had too many concussions. It couldn't.
I know that American football apparently is dying slightly because it's so detrimental to your mental state because you get hit in the head so much.
He's a big boy. I mean, he's about 6'7" and twice as broad as me. He's a terrifying character. And the only thing he really, really would have been good at is that, but too many concussions. So that's what you understand. I just don't know if he was playing or not with a helmet on. They're meant to protect you.
I know, horrible.
But anyway, so I mean, fascinating stuff. So we're talking about lacrosse here in Colombia and how it's growing and how it's becoming. And Lottie Lawrence is 24-year-old from the UK, from Suffolk, you know, nice rural county in the UK, is you know, at the forefront of this, at the tender age of 24. Imagine what you were doing when you were 24 years old. I don't even really want to think about it. But anyway, this is Colombia Calling. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Lottie Lawrence talking more about the sport here in Colombia. Thank you.
Live call-in shows and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.
Tired of paying for traditional advertising? Sick of pouring money into SEO and questionable marketing firms? Looking to reach a new audience? We know you want to grow your business and directly engage your customers and clientele. Podcasting is the way to go, and Podfly has your solution. Whether you're a blogger, writer, business owner, entrepreneur, or service provider, Podfly makes it easy for anyone to have a professionally produced and distributed podcast. No radio experience or technical ability? No problem. In 3 easy steps, you'll be on your way to having a professional-sounding podcast and an exciting new platform to promote your business. Podfly's top-class support team guides you through the process to make podcasting easy, fun, and most important, have you sound your best. Get started today at podfly.net and let's get your message truly heard. Podfly.net, passion for great-sounding podcasts.
From China's Great Wall to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, this is the Overseas Radio Network.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McColl, and we're talking about lacrosse in Colombia, and we're talking to Lottie Lawrence, who's a 24-year-old Briton here. And you know what? I'm not ashamed to say that she is, you know, amazing at what... It's amazing that she's doing something of this nature. 24 years old. I think I just finished university, in fact. I took so many gap years. But you know, you're essentially Colombia's number one lacrosse player. How does that feel?
That feels exceptional. I wouldn't say that because I'm not actually Colombian. But considering we probably have about 20 girls playing in the country.
Yeah, but I think they're going to make you a heritage player. I think they're going to roll you out for Scotland next year.
That would be fun.
You'll be their ringer.
Yeah, I am. This is something we haven't talked about. I am training coaches.
Oh yeah.
To make the sport sustainable, so that when I leave, there are lacrosse players here to keep coaching in the schools.
So
that's one of our main.
Right, I think that's obviously very important. And
yeah.
But you're definitely here for another year to see them through to the to the championships in Scotland, and then after that, nobody knows.
Nobody knows if it's by that stage ready to stay afloat without me. That sounds very.
That's fine. No, it's fine.
But if the girls are ready to take on the project themselves, and you know the schools are happy with that idea, etc., then I reckon I will leave. I don't know what I'll do.
Are you going to go off to Fiji and start another league?
Maybe I'll go to Fiji. It sounds lovely.
It was the first place that came to my head. It probably needs a girls' league.
Better climate than Bogota.
Oh God, yeah, anything's better. But although it's quite nice today.
London's not better, let's be honest.
No, it's true. But anyway, so now you started playing aged 11. Back at school, and then you went on, played at a university, Manchester University.
Yeah.
So, but you studied, you didn't study sports, studied another subject. And so, I mean, how do you find yourself in this position? I mean, if you had thought back in, like, let's say your penultimate year at Manchester University, that in a couple of years' time you would be in Bogota training lacrosse teams and taking them up to Denver, what would you say if someone said that to you?
I think I'd find that really strange. It definitely, everything has happened very much, not by coincidence, because I definitely tried hard to make it happen, but I definitely wouldn't, after I left Manchester, lacrosse was not what I was looking to do necessarily. Mm-hmm. However much I loved it, I didn't really know that I could end up here coaching lacrosse
in a faraway land.
I don't know, I guess it sort of just fell into place.
I think that's, I mean, you know, hats off to you because you're making something of it. Some people will be terrified in this situation.
Oh, definitely. I've had my moments of terror. It's not easy working for yourself as such. I haven't found it easy.
No, it's certainly not. But tell me a little thing. I mean, setting this up in Colombia is known for having a wonderful level of bureaucracy. How has that been for you? Here in Colombia, and also, let's say, as a woman, because it's, as we say, a machismo society, and it's got to be hard.
I've had moments where I want to leave, because it is very strange coming from a culture where there's not even really a question of you're being equal to the opposite sex. It's just sort of a given, and existing here, I have been in meetings with men who don't really want to talk to me and only want to talk to Miles, even though Miles would say I was being oversensitive. But I don't know, it has its ups and downs, of course, like anything in outside, I don't want to say anything in Colombia, but anything outside of your country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't know, running a sports team in a culture that never turns up on time is not easy. You know, so if someone misses practice and they won't give me an excuse, and then later I'll receive an email saying, ay, qué pena, my grandmother was sick, or it's Sunday, I had to be with my mother.
Mm.
It's just, I don't know.
It's got to be tough, that. I mean, definitely has to be tough. We're much more disciplinarian in that from the UK.
I think so, yeah. But I've definitely learned a lot.
Well, I can believe it.
And the younger girls seem more sort of, I don't know how to say this, I guess because the education system is changing, they seem to take on more responsibility of themselves.
Really?
In a sort of team environment. So they will tell me if they can't come to practice in advance, rather than with the national team, boys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
They just won't show up.
And then tell you sort of a few days later, if at best, with that email that the grandmother was sick, which we believe always.
Yes, always believe that.
Now, you know, and you've got this, so, and one of those things that I always genuinely ask of people who come out here and doing something incredibly different, such as yourself, is, well, what do your parents say? My daughter is a lacrosse coach.
I don't know. When I decided to come to Colombia, they were very excited. I mean, my little brother has been living in Guatemala for quite a few years, and
that's where I used to live.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. And they I don't know. So I said that I wanted to move to South America when I was about 19, and then after university, I was living at home for about 3 weeks, and they were like, "Can you leave, please?"
So when are you going to South America?
So I think they're proud, but no prouder of, I don't know. I guess if your family travel, it's not really a big deal, and I guess they miss me, but
I mean, you know, they don't. They think I'm sure they think you're going to get headhunted by great universities in the UK to come back and coach.
They're definitely very liberal, so there's none of that, "Oh, you're in Colombia, how dangerous," which I'm proud of them for, I think, because never once did they say, "Don't do that, that's a foolish idea."
I mean, that's very cool, because it is hard sometimes to get that across to parents.
Yeah.
As well. And, you know, this World Cup that has just finished has been a benchmark. It's been, to stop people from thinking about the bad.
It's so nice being in the papers for something positive. The football team, I was so proud of them.
I was saying yesterday to a Colombian friend, I mean, it filled me with pride as well to be associated, to be living in a country where my own home country were writing articles about how they would be supporting Colombia because, you know, the joy.
I know, it's so cool.
You know, and that's pushed back, let's say, Escobar, kidnapping, cocaine. We've got a cool football team.
Yeah. And also, it wasn't just that they played so hard, it was that they were so cool, so young, so enthusiastic, and just so cool.
And there was an innocence but maturity, and it was joyful. So I think that's really, I think, you know, we're at a good point in Colombian history, I think. And and of course that let's say that pleasant feeling, you know, that whole atmosphere is around us at the moment, and of course you must be enjoying that as, you know, leading out there a new sport, because they have to be sort of, let's say, more open to it at this moment than perhaps a year ago or 2 years ago.
Sure,
you know, you these things do benefit you.
Yeah,
you know, definitely. So I think that's great. Now, but you know, it's definitely challenging. I've been here 8 years, and I'm not going to lie, you know, Colombia has been my biggest challenge. I've lived in many countries, including Guatemala and everywhere else, but Colombia, even with 8 years, has been my biggest challenge. But we're going to move the conversation slightly for these last couple of minutes, right? just an anecdotal stories, and I think you know about them anyway. But for those people out there who don't know where Pereira is, it's in this, like, the heart of the coffee region. This is where Lottie originally taught, you know, at a private school there. The school that she taught at is infamous for one reason. For those of you who are following the peace dialogues between the FARC guerrillas and the Colombian government negotiating team who are in Havana, Cuba, these have been going on since November 2013. 12. 13. I'll get there eventually. I think it's 12, actually. It's been a long time. Yeah, 2012. There is a young Dutch lady who's involved in these talks. She's a gorilla by the name of Tanya Niemeyer. That's where she started out teaching in Colombia.
Yeah, the school is going to kill me for saying this, but yes, it was the exact same school.
They won't kill you now.
They won't kill you now.
They won't kill you now. I'm sure they've got their own press officer just for this one item.
She didn't last very long at the school, obviously.
So it's not a hotbed of revolutionary activity.
I would say not.
No. It was just her. It wasn't you. No, you're not there under the guise of lacrosse trying to subvert anyone. Okay. Yeah. But I think it's really interesting the way that, you know, this girl sort of came in. I think I met her in Nicaragua years ago.
Did you?
I really do think I met her. I met a young, let's say, you know, attractive European girl who looks almost identical, who was spouting off Sandinista stuff in Nicaragua. Ooh. And I know that before she came to Colombia, she'd been up there in Nicaragua, and she kept talking about dumb Americans. It just sounds like the same spiel.
Oh my god, it must be the same.
It just sounds like
it's strange how you don't know and you never will know, but you think it's the same person.
I just think it's the same one, because I remember she really rubbed me up the wrong way, you know. It's like because the whole politics thing, like, oh, dumb Americans, this dumb Americans.
Watching
that.
Interviews with her really rubs me up.
I mean, you know, there's no doubt about it. She's intelligent and whatever, and yeah, but oof. Well, would you give up your life to be out there in the jungles? I mean, you're living...
I would say no.
Yeah, I don't think
I've got to play lacrosse.
You've got to play lacrosse. Your duty is to be out there leading the charge in lacrosse. So let's move back, because that was my anecdotal section. Let's move back to lacrosse quickly. So how do you... I mean, do you feel really positive about the growth of lacrosse here?
Yes, I do. Yes, I feel... There have been moments, 3 months ago, I was banging my head against a brick wall where people didn't want to play and the teams weren't falling apart, but, you know, there were issues with the girls' teams and arguments and et cetera, et cetera. But at the moment, following the World Cup, both lacrosse and football, and the positivity that we're receiving as a country, and schools returning and more interested sponsors and extra coaches in the States, yeah, I feel really positive.
I think that, I mean, that's a good way to end up on it. I mean, so therefore, we're going to see more of lacrosse here in Colombia in the future.
Absolutely.
You do think. And are they going to win more games?
We're going to win more games.
We're going to win more games.
Maybe we'll even win the World Championships.
Really?
No.
That's that confident?
You know, we need to be quite positive.
I think so. But you've definitely got the dance down, so that when you're up there in Scotland in the horizontal sleet... the Scottish summer. You've been there, and the poor Colombians will have never seen anything like it before.
Yeah, exactly.
This is summertime.
I know, they're going to be so confused.
They're on a granite rock in Scotland. All right. Well, it's certainly going to be an adventure for them, and I wouldn't say exotic, but it would certainly be an adventure for the Colombians.
It might be exotic for them.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know. Maybe it could be. But anyway, I think it's fascinating. Just remind us again. So the Facebook site, if you want to get involved in lacrosse in Colombia, it's just Colombia Lacrosse.
Colombia Lacrosse. And also we have a separate page for women, which is Colombia Women's Lacrosse.
Women's Lacrosse. Colombia Women's Lacrosse. And they're on Instagram and Twitter?
Twitter, Instagram. What else is there?
Oh God! Pinterest, I guess. Facebook. Well, there are, you know, all over social media. Put Colombian Women's Lacrosse into Google, and I'm sure they'll come up. And you can find out how to get involved, because there are young, pioneering people like Lottie doing great things out here. So thank you very much for being on the show, and thank you. You're very welcome. I think it's really admirable what you're doing, and I think in the future the women of Colombia will, you know, erect a statue of you somewhere.
I really hope not.
You know, as the lady who, you know, you are the torchbearer for lacrosse in Colombia. Now, anyway, so listen, if you like the show, get in touch. It's ColombiaCalling@gmail.com or obviously our website, ColombiaCallingRadio.com. I'm Richard McCall. This has been Colombia Calling. We've been talking to Lottie Lawrence all about lacrosse in Colombia, and tune in for next week's show. Thank you for listening.
This podcast was produced in part by Podfly.net. Podfly, passion for great sounding podcasts.